kind of as an effort to sort of memorialize her and to really celebrate the music that they made. And then it's also got some pretty cool stuff from female Iranian musicians. We're going to be hearing a cover of Jolene later on by an Iranian pop star. So stick around for that. I was really shaken when I found out that Marjane Satrapi, the acclaimed French Iranian cartoonist, had passed away late last week at 56 years old. I'm not gonna lie, I was actually just really gutted. I'll talk a little bit about, you know, my memories of first reading her work. I hadn't heard about Persepolis from a lot of people in the past. I had known that it was a really good animated movie, and I think, you know, a previous co-host, Jade, had talked about it to me before, and he really recommended it to me. But I believe it was during the year of the Heat Dome, so about 5 years ago, that summer, I went to, just right before the Heat Dome happened, I went to a local secondhand bookshop here in the Tri-Cities, shout out to Western Sky, and as I was browsing the comics section, I found the complete edition of Persepolis. It was used, and I was like, okay, let me see about this. This is a really big book, right? This is like 340-ish pages. And an a pretty intense story, because it tells about like the first, I would say maybe quarter of Satrapi's life. Maybe first 20-ish years of her life. And so it's memoir, it's also like a political commentary and social commentary. And I remember during the days of the Heat Dome, because it was so hot and I'm very heat sensitive, I had a lot of trouble focusing, and I was super duper lethargic because I was not sleeping at night basically at all. So during the daytime, when it was just the moments of the day where somehow it was a little bit cooler, I was lying on the ground on like a yoga mat, and you know, it was so hot that I couldn't move. I couldn't really do anything, but just stay flat on the yoga mat. And then I would reach for this book whenever I felt like I had the concentration to. I would get through like 15 to 25 pages of it. And so it felt like at the time it was taking me forever to read it, to actually get through this. But this was the only thing that I was really super invested in during that time. I was like, my hands were so, like, the pads of my fingers were sweating, you know, and I would have to put down the book at times because I was so tired that I couldn't concentrate anymore, or because I didn't want to get the book, like, moist, essentially. Very gross, but real. Persepolis really changed me. Even though I would go on to read several of other Satrapi's books. Like, I have a copy of Embroideries. Also, again, shout out to Western Sky. They are so real. And then last year I read Chicken with Plums. I also tried to read Satrapi's anthology of the Woman Life Freedom Movement. But I think a lot of people would agree, like, if there was one satrapy book that really got them, it was Persepolis. It is about everything. It's about girlhood. It's about identity and love, like, in the greater sense of your love for your people, your love for your, for the collective. It is a work of social and political resistance, and it made me really rethink the biases that I had about the country, the people, not like Iran necessarily, but I had grown up being surrounded by, and I'm sure most people are this way, they're surrounded by people who really believe that to love one's people, you must love the state, you must love the nation. And let me say, speaking as somebody who grew up in Canada and also is Chinese, two slightly separate things, but in this case, not really, I've had a lot of complicated feelings about when people say that they love their people. What they actually are saying is they love the state and they love sovereignty and state power. And this book made me rethink the yearning that one has for their country. A lot of the times, some people, they actually don't mean country. They've just been taught to conflate country with the nation, when really what they mean is their people. And so this Persepolis helped illuminate a lot of those nuances for me in a way that felt really tangible. It also unlocked a realization in me and helping me figure out, like, that was to some extent how I also felt as well with regards to the questions around like love for the people and trying to not conflate it with the state. In that way, I think Persepolis made me feel more just connected to other people, and it strengthened my sense of empathy. And also my feeling of wanting to see justice in the world. Oh, this is actually really difficult to talk about on radio because I can feel myself getting quite emotional. Without getting too emotional, I guess what I can say about the loss of Marjane Satrapi is that, yeah, she had a really big impact on me. Every time somebody asks me, like, aren't comics for children? I tell them to read Persepolis. I tell them to read anything by Marjane Satrapi. There is so much wit and thoughtfulness in her work. And on the surface, when you look at her artwork, it seems simple and cartoonish, but there's so much sophistication in the way that she lays out her comics. Like, one of the early chapters is about how when she was little, Marjane thought that she was going to be the next prophet, and she had, like, the certain set of rules in her, like, holy book. It's the bottom of page 7 of the complete edition of Persepolis, and Marjane is talking to her grandmother and telling her about the rules of her religion, and she goes, rule number 6, everybody should have a car. Rule number 7, all maids should eat at the table with the others. Rule number 8, no old person should have to suffer. And in the next panel, her grandmother goes, in that case, I'll be your first disciple. Marjane says, really? Her grandma goes, but tell me how you'll arrange for old people not to suffer. And the drawing of little Marjane is so funny. She's raising her arms and she's got her eyes closed, her head's tilted in one direction slightly, And it also, it kind of looks like she's shrugging in a way, or she's just like, you know, declaring something. And it just says, it will simply be forbidden. You know, these little moments of humor and heart in her work, and then the serious stuff, the stuff that actually freaking sucks, when she's talking about how she'll never see her uncle again because he's been taken as a political prisoner again and he's about to be executed. And she knows that, but her parents won't tell her the truth. And all these other moments in this story, storytelling just takes so much skill. And to be able to, you know, speak to someone's heart takes so much real practice and thoughtfulness. I have final... Oh, okay. You know what? I'm going to wrap up the show in a little bit with my final thoughts. Mostly because right now, if I keep talking, I will cry again, possibly on radio. So we're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to listen to some music. This is a track off of Chris Dirksen's most recent record, which was released last year in November. It's called Plains. I hope you enjoy it.
This is bird note. Snake eagles are pretty incredible. That name, snake eagle, may conjure up some kind of fearsome sci-fi hybrid, spawned in a secret laboratory. But snake eagles are for real, and they are awesome, big birds of prey. When a soaring snake eagle spots a delicious snake, it swoops down suddenly, grabbing with its talons. Then it immediately flies upward as the snake writhes and strikes. The first order of business is to minimize the danger, so the eagle crushes or tears off the snake's head. Still on the wing, it then swallows the entire snake head first. Snake eagles are a bit smaller than bald eagles. There are 6 different species, and they live mainly in Africa, although one ranges as far as Europe and India. Snake eagle legs and toes are covered in thick scales that help protect them from bites. And bites are a serious risk. Snake eagles take on some of the swiftest and deadliest snakes in the world, like cobras and black mambas. But not every meal is a battle with a deadly adversary. When not snatching snakes, snake eagles may also hunt lizards, rodents, and even bats or fish. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Support comes from Wild Delight Bird Food, offering a variety of blends designed to mimic the natural resources wild birds crave. Available at Chewy.com.
Thank you.
banger cover. Hope you enjoyed that here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie, and as we wrap up the show today, my final thoughts about, you know, this pretty sad topic about when artists who you admire are no longer of this world. It just makes me think about how important art is. Oh my God, such a deep thought, Leslie. No, but seriously, it just makes me think about how important it is for us to preserve art and to preserve human storytelling, whether that be through music or writing or you know, comics or film. Art has the ability to connect us with something far greater than just ourselves. And what that is other people. What that is humanity. And when a great artist is great because they are so good at connecting us with a greater sense of humanity, and then they pass away, it just hurts so much because that person brought you closer to everybody else. And then the only thing that you could do, though, is to celebrate that. Is to celebrate that they were here. Is to celebrate that they took the path that they did to become an artist, to use those skills and their heart to tell stories. You know, what a blessing it has been to live in the same timeline as Chris Dirksen. What a blessing it has been to live in the same timeline as Marjane Satrapi. Rest in peace to the both of them. Yeah, today's episode is big sentimental. If you have never listened to Chris Dirksen's music or read any of Marjane Satrapi's work, get on that. And if you have, I really would love to know what your favorite song by Dirksen was or your favorite album by them was. I would really love to know what your favorite work of Satrapi's was. You can send me an email over on typicallytuesdays@gmail.com, or you can send me a text message, 778-782-2573. Speaking of text messages, I received one last week from a listener responding to the episode I made about the complexities of Asian identity. And I want to read what they wrote. They wrote, "Hi from Awasian. Thank you for your words." Hey, thank you so much for listening to the show, and thank you so much for your kind words. I was really afraid that I would get a lot of heat for that episode. And not in a good way, but it feels good to know that there was somebody listening who was thinking about what I was talking about. So thank you so much to that wonderful listener. You can be like them as well and have your responses and comments about my program read on air. Again, 778-782-2573 here on Typically Tuesdays to text me, or you can send me an email, typicallytuesdays@gmail.com. I'm going to end off the show today with one final track. It has been a bit of a sad episode, and I guess in a way I need a pick-me-up, but also it is Pride Month. And I, this song is one that, like, a lot of old school hip, or old school, oh my god, I was gonna say old school hip hop fans. I've been watching too much FD Signifier. But no, old school K-pop fans would consider, like, a pride anthem. And this song means also a lot to me. Oh my god, everything just is so sentimental on today's show. But yeah, this song is very important to me, and it is so inspiring. It is about taking up the courage to be who you truly are and become a version of you that is braver and truer to who you really envision yourself to be. This is Into the New World by Girls' Generation. I've played it on the show many times before. I will do it again. I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I will talk to you again very soon.